this cabbage off instinct. Don't think, stink pink gators, my Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right, if they head right, Biggie there, and I. Papa been smooth since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruce Cruz who? Do something to us, talk go through us. Girls want to us, wanna do us, screw us, who us? Yeah, Papa and Pop. Close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3. Bang every MC easily. Recently, frontin' ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my peace. Keep my peace. Cubans with the Jesus peace. With my peace, packing, asking who want it. They got it, flaunt it. That Brooklyn, we on it.
Biggie, Biggie, can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean.
I put NY onto DKNY. Miami, D.C., prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly know it's Moschino. Every cutie with the booty for the coochie. Now who's the real dookie? Meaning who's really the Rod, Frank Wright push the stick called the Lexus LX 4.5. Bulletproof glass tips if I want some. Gon' blast squeeze first. Ask questions last. That's how most of these so called gangsters pass. At last, a rapping about some bras, menage a trois. Some expensive cars that still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for, no car payment. At my arraignment.
Gotta let it bump a little bit. The Notorious B.I.G. Christopher Wallace, 20 years ago today, gunned down. One of the greatest of all time. If not the greatest of all time, one of the greatest of all time. Rakim might be above him, but we have to pay our respects to the Notorious B.I.G. before we start the show today. Welcome to First Edition. I'm Sean Yoes, your host, a truncated version of First Edition. So coming in, leading into the basketball game, what other way can we lead into the basketball game but to do the NWA Sports Report? Doesn't that make sense?
That makes sense.
Makes sense.
Definitely. All right. I'm going to do the... Anyway, yes, NWA Sports Report for an hour before Morgan State University basketball. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at FirstEdition889, and don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition on WEAA 88.9 FM. Go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcast of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yoes. That is my name, S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S. Or go to my Facebook page if you have information, insight, or breaking news you want to share with me. I'll share with the people unless you don't want me to, and I won't. Coming up in the second hour, there is no second hour. It's just basketball. So for this entire hour, the NWA Sports Report leading into the Morgan State University MEAC basketball game, MEAC conference tournament.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, right. Sir.
El Crawford.
What's good?
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm very excited today. As you, I don't know if you can see.
I know you are.
I don't know if the listeners can actually see me. I know they can't see me, but yeah. I'm very happy today with the results of NFL free agency.
Right. Dr. Dre.
What's going on, everybody?
He's a new person every time.
Every time, every week, he's a different cat. Incredible. Blanc, what's happening?
I'm just disappointed as a Redskins fan. So let's just
speaking to the mic, Blanc.
I'm just disappointed as a Redskins fan. I'm just heartbroken.
It's over.
Free agency isn't for me.
It's over, man. That's
it's
all
not
it
for
is.
Me.
I can't wait.
It's
over.
Just not for me.
I can't wait. Has even started yet?
I can't
you're
wait.
It's over.
I can't wait till Ramos gets here. I can't wait.
Well,
any minute.
Okay. I think they're trying to find Uncle Perry's undisclosed location. I don't know if it's possible.
He got to close out his tab at the bar first.
It's happy hour. Happy hour just started.
It's exactly happy hour.
There she is.
Oh, there she is. Oh,
hey.
Yeah. All right. There's your chair right there. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
She got to burst up now.
Yeah. About to say, right. Any other time.
Oh.
Fuss about
in.
Her chair.
Everybody's coming in. Ramosa.
Hey.
Say it again. Say it again.
Hello.
All right.
There we go.
We've discovered the drone has discovered the undisclosed location of Uncle Perry. Uncle Perry.
What's up, yo?
You hear him, right?
Hey, Perry.
Yeah, see? It's a little early for you, Perry. So
I'm,
those happy hour deals ain't kicked in yet.
Nah, they just started.
They just started.
Just thought, right.
Right. All right, so we got a lot of things to get into. First, before we get in, we're going to cover March Madness.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And cover NBA.
A little bit. A
little spring training.
Okay.
A little spring training.
All right, all right.
There's some other things that the team has assembled for us as well. Somebody set Floyd Mayweather's car on fire. While he was on tour in England.
Yeah.
A lot of hate for Floyd everywhere on earth.
I don't understand it.
Well, you don't understand it, do you? This guy, man. You would. I mean, why would somebody set Floyd's car on fire, Trey? I mean, he's the greatest boxer of all time, right?
He is.
Whoa. See what just happened? See what I just did to him?
Yeah.
I just humiliated him.
You didn't? Right? How did you humiliate him?
I just humiliated
him. He walked into that one.
Yeah. The greatest boxer of all time.
I said he was better than Muhammad Ali. What, was this like last year? And I'll say it again.
Boy, you better watch your step walking out of the studio.
Well, now the 50 and over crowd's about to call in.
Call him.
Hey, look, I agree with him.
Exactly.
Okay, I agree with him.
You agree with him? You think that Floyd Mayweather was better than Muhammad Ali?
Well, we've had this conversation, yo. I felt like Muhammad Ali would be the greatest had he not been forced to not box in his prime. So we don't really know, but the Muhammad Ali that the rope
we saw his Ali. Prime. We saw his prime, though, Perry. It was his prime was shortened,
no,
but we still saw it.
I don't even think that was his prime. I think he could have been even better. I think he was even better than that, Yokes, and we didn't get a chance to see it.
I mean, he did spend some time away, didn't he?
I mean,
things
did happen.
He was exiled.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying things happened, and we weren't allowed to see him at his greatest form. So, now, the rope-a-dope Ali,
that's not the Ali I'm talking about, Percy. Let me see. I've got to help you out.
Let's get the facts. So how many years was he away from boxing?
He's away for three and a half years.
All right. Now, my thing is, Michael Jordan is, you know, people say he's the greatest. How many years was he away from, you know, basketball?
But we've seen him in his prime.
It's about 2 years, right? So that's my
But to be able to leave the sport that you were the best at, period, and be able to come back and stay there and not only have to come back, and Muhammad Ali was in his prime and he fought people that were potentially coming for his neck in their own personal prime.
But to that point,
what I'm trying to say is that even though he there was 3 years taken from his career, we saw there were fights where we saw Ali in his prime. The Ernie Terrell fight, he was in his prime. The What's My Name, that's the What's My
but
Name.
Sean,
name.
I think the simple fact that he not only dominated, but a lot of those fights, he was picked to lose. You know, people were, you know, telling him at one point that you're going to get killed.
Oh, George Foreman.
Basically, the way it was, he was an underdog.
But
you know,
Floyd Mayweather has been an underdog, too.
Mayweather,
everybody thought that he was going to lose against Pacquiao.
Pacquiao was 102.
Right.
No, it doesn't matter because for years, everybody kept saying that Manny Pacquiao would knock out Floyd Mayweather.
They were saying that
this man has so much power. And it wouldn't. What did Floyd Mayweather do in that fight?
See,
he made him look
silly.
I think
what hurts Floyd about him being, you know, the greatest is the fact that he doesn't have a rival. I mean, you know, you see a lot of greats have, like, you know, trilogies.
Because nobody's on his
level. If anything, the welterweight division, if he was so dominant in the welterweight division, being able to be a businessman about what he was able to do, and you got to give him the credit. I mean, the point is not to get hit. You don't get hit, but at the same time, the business aspect of it takes the blame when he can tell somebody else what he's going to fight them for. But at the same time, to a degree, the welterweight division at this moment now, with everybody coming being in there now, is looking a bit more stagnant and looking a bit more competitive. More the people want to fight each other. You're looking forward to Berto and Porter, Thurman and Garcia, prime time back.
Were you trying to get in? I thought I heard you trying to get in.
I'm not impressed by the whole, you know, the rope-a-dope thing, and I disagree with you. I really don't believe that we saw him at his prime. We saw him as he was entering his prime, and that was greatness.
Okay.
But we didn't see him in his prime. He didn't box anybody when he probably was in his prime, okay?
Like I said.
So, you know, I got to go with Mayweather, you know, but hey, look, I love Ali. I think that was.
How do you say all that and then say, I love Ali?
Well, I mean, you can still have a love for Muhammad Ali.
Do you hear how disrespectful your tone is right now?
It's not disrespectful.
It's totally downtrodden. You've downtrodden Muhammad Ali to the respect of Floyd Mayweather? Yes.
I'm not doubting him. I'm saying
you've
I'm
closed the count.
Okay, I'm a professional here. All right. Yeah, okay. I got to be professional about the thing.
What you want? Google right? and your disclosed location.
As much as I love him, I gotta be professional, yo.
Right. It's gotta be professional and objective.
Right. Because you're always objective.
Yes, I am.
I'm always professional, yo.
You no, okay, Perry, yes, you, yes, yes. But Dre was talking about being objective. I don't understand that, but
he's the next closest on this panel of objective people, okay? Because we know somebody will pick Oakland, and we know somebody will pick WFC to win every single game.
And yet the Baltimore Ravens never have a problem.
Well, no, look,
in your eyes, they are the angelic.
I don't know if you saw free agency.
They are the epitome of. I'm not talking to you. They are the epitome of the NFL to you. But I can never get you to admit anything. There's nothing out of the ordinary, nothing, but it's okay. At least I stick behind the courage of my convictions if you want to be all involved in what the words of this man is to my left.
Yes, me and Uncle Perry were on the same page. That's all it is.
Lord. Hey, look, I picked the Ravens to lose some games, okay?
Because you don't want to miss a pick. You want to be involved in beating Sean. Sean is your personal attack person. So however you can do that, you will do that. Hey, if it means the Ravens take a loss on your bracket list when it comes to the NFC, you will sacrifice that to beat Sean.
Perry's all in.
He's all in. Like
I'm
LeBron.
Just objective, man. I'm just objective like professional.
You needed a playmaker. You became your own.
Yo, so unobjective. He was rooting for the Raiders so that Derek Carr could get hurt.
It worked.
He wanted to see Derek Carr get hurt.
It worked.
I like the kid, man.
That's when I knew he was sick. When he kept saying it, he kept saying, I'm a Raider. You know, Derek Carr, the Raiders, I'm telling you, yo, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. And I was like, wait a minute.
He's trying to get him hurt, yo.
He's doing the okie doke.
He's trying to get him killed.
His own personal rope-a-dope, but you wasn't impressed by it. Get out of here.
No, yo.
That's why he's laughing.
I love Derek Carr. You know you ready to kick him off the team. You know that, all right? So let's make sure we get that straight. Let's get the facts straight. You don't want Derek Carr on the team, okay? Didn't you say after he got hurt, y'all was still going to go in and win the whole thing?
He tried to say.
Why not?
He's like, hey, we can still win this whole thing, Curry. I'm like, are you serious? So you have no respect for Derek Carr. You don't deserve him on your team, okay?
All right. Well, he's still on. let's take a phone call. Let's go to Larry Williams. I have a suspicion that he may want to talk about boxing. Larry, you're on the NWA. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on with you guys?
All right.
What's going on?
Question for y'all.
All right.
Why isn't there a professional basketball team of any type in Baltimore, Maryland right now?
Because the Baltimore Bullets got ran out of town and they never
replaced
them.
That was years ago, man. Think about it.
I know it was, Larry. I was here.
Oklahoma City can support a team. Baltimore can also.
All right. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Whoa, you just hung up.
I think Baltimore does need a basketball team. I agree with him on that.
Yeah, root for the Wizards.
I got the classic Derby.
Honestly. I love my city. The city supports the Orioles. The city supports the Ravens. But I'm just not 100%. And Baltimore is a basketball town as far as producing basketball talent. But I'm just not 100% sure. And people fight me over this all the time.
Well, where would you put it? That's the question.
I don't know. I mean, we've been battling over trying to get rid of that raggedy arena.
What is it? Royal Farms Arena.
It used to be the Civic Center when I was a kid. But, I mean, it's not a – I don't know. You got to build a new arena. It's just that simple. There's no way – no NBA team is going to come to Baltimore play in there. they're just not going to do it.
The owners are not going to – they're not going to vote on
it. You got the Baltimore Brigade playing there now. You know?
That's not the NBA. Come on.
Not only that, are the fans who are – I mean, your fans are detrimental here in Baltimore. You're conclusive.
No,
you're conclusive. Whereas in a city like being from a city like DC, I could not like the Wizards and be a Lakers fan for a minute, but I bleed burgundy and gold. Whereas in Baltimore, what I've seen here, you love everything. You are an Orioles fan and you are a Ravens fan. Depending on how diehard you are that. So are you willing to break that dichotomy up to have to share – aspect of a fandom.
I disagree, because I think you can find a lot of Steeler fans in Baltimore. And it's surprising.
I'm not talking to...
I'm just saying, but it reminds me of how it is back in the Washington, D.C. area, where you'll find a lot of Cowboy fans, and you'll find a lot of Redskins. I mean, I'm not going to say Steelers dominate the town where it's just, like,
but that's
sickening, like how the Cowboys... Like, you could literally go a whole day...
Even though Raiders fans did dominate Ravens fans when we played the Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's still a lot of Oakland fans here, too. Yeah. So I mean,
yeah, and that's just ridiculous. You know, I don't
it
even,
sure was, Barry. It was totally ridiculous.
Well,
where are you from, Yos?
From West Baltimore, Mondawmin World, brother.
No,
in the
man,
playgrounds where I spent most of my days.
somewhere on the West Coast, man. Yeah. I don't know. You know, somewhere, maybe in California.
Mondawmin World, baby. Mondawmin World.
Where are you originally from again?
Well, you're from Nevada, man, because that's where the Raiders are from.
Nevada.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah. Nevada. Where's the team moving?
You know, and you better hope they keep the mascot the Raiders, okay? Because it may not be that. You know, we never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Nevada Bobcats.
Are you going to be a fan of them, Dino? You going to be a fan of
they
the
could
Las
be,
Vegas
the Raiders could play on the moon, and I would still be a
Oakland.
What'd
they change their name, though?
If they're called the Las Vegas Bobcats.
They're
are
not
going to
be called
be
the
same?
Las Vegas Bobcats.
you don't know that.
Man,
you
got
that.
Well, that name.
They're going to Vegas, baby.
No, well, we'll see. There's more boxing news. Mm-hmm. Floyd Mayweather, Andre's best friend, is he going to wind up fighting this cat, Conor McGregor?
I'm not watching it.
No.
What a spectacle.
No.
What a joke.
It's not. I don't think it's going to happen, but if it does, of course, Floyd Mayweather's going to mop the floor with this guy.
Well, I'll tell you like this. If he fights him... I think that tarnishes his whole legacy.
How does it tarnish his legacy?
And I'm going to tell you why, because that's a joke. I mean, why would somebody like Floyd Mayweather, who is, you know, prestigious, top-notch boxer, fight basically an entertainer?
You know why?
I mean, he's more than an entertainer, though.
Because the money is right,
but
Floyd
it's not about
Mayweather
it's
will
not about
be
that.
There.
Give Conor McGregor his due. He is more than an entertainer. He is an actual UFC fighter, one of the best in UFC, and he does draw money.
Someone had to teach
so
him
the
how
best
to
in
box.
Boxing versus the best in UFC.
UFC is close to wrestling. It's just like
I can't even get down.
It's like
with
the Undertaker
caged,
and all that. Especially when you put them in a boxing ring. Like I mean, that's pretty much a joke.
It's a caged bloodbath.
I mean,
at the end of the day, it's a joke.
My thing with Floyd Mayweather is this is my only thing. Like, he carefully guards and picks his opponents. You know, you never see him really fight a fight where
there's no such thing as him fighting everybody. That never happened during his career.
It's definitely guarded.
Muhammad Ali fought everybody breathing.
Whether he won or lost, and
beat almost everybody breathing.
And Floyd Mayweather hasn't?
No, he hasn't.
Yes,
Trey, don't. Seriously, son, don't.
He has fought the best. He has fought everybody that y'all have wanted him to fight, and he is 49-0.
How long did it take him to fight Manny?
Or Mosley?
It took a while, but I mean.
A while? It took him 7 years, bro.
But seven years. Boxing is different now as opposed to back then. The money had to be right, the contract negotiations and everything.
Look, they was disrespecting him with the money.
Let me tell you something.
If
Floyd Mayweather had wanted to fight Manny Pacquiao, nothing on this earth would have stopped him from doing it.
But he was disrespecting him with the money.
He doesn't have enough.
He needs to be in the billions, all right?
Well, good. Nice.
Go ahead and educate him.
Perry, if you're a fighter, bro, you're a fighter.
But is he a fighter or is he a businessman?
Both. Yo, if you're both. A fighter, if both. You if you are a fighter, both. There's nothing on earth that can stop you from beating the man that you want to beat the world.
And yet Muhammad Ali didn't need any money, did he? He didn't need any money. He was his own personal brand. And personal spokesperson.
Muhammad Ali was not a businessman. Floyd Mayweather was both a businessman
about,
and a boxer.
You don't know what you're talking about, bro. Muhammad Ali brokered or allowed to be brokered the biggest paying fight in the history of boxing. The fight in Zaire between George Foreman and him. So to say he's not a businessman is erroneous, bro.
No, but that's not true.
And he was his own personal
campaign. He's not
campaign.
The businessman that Floyd Mayweather.
But why is business involved in boxing and in sports?
Because Floyd Mayweather has his own production team around
him. Floyd Mayweather wouldn't be possible without Muhammad Ali, bro.
I agree with that aspect, but to say that Floyd Mayweather has to be both.
What I'm trying to tell you is Muhammad Ali was a fighter first. Floyd Mayweather is clearly a businessman first, which I'm not knocking on. I mean, don't get me wrong. The guy is a talented. He probably is.
He's the greatest defensive fighter of all time.
He's definitely top 10 and no question, top 5 and arguably top 3. But what I'm saying is you can't be the best when you really haven't fought a lot of fighters in their prime, in your prime. You know, a lot of people that he fought, he was always, you know, the person that was going to win.
When you talk about legacies, that means it's in totality, putting your body on the line. You know, he was praised for getting out of the sport too soon because he wanted to be able to be cognitive, too, which I understand. You want to be able to walk and be with your grandchildren or whatever the case may be. But the men in the back, you think Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, and people like that, you think they were concerned with what their bodies would turn into later, willing to...
But Ramos, not only that, it's like boxing now is you can use, the money's not right to get out of any fight.
It's easy tactics.
You know, back then, what I'm saying, back then, if that was said, you're scared.
You're scared.
You're yellow.
No, but now that is going on right now with like Thurman and, what's that with Thurman and, Alvarez.
Yeah, Alvarez, Triple G. You have Andre Ward, you have all that. And they always use, the money's not right, or we can't decide. Back then, man, it was, if he was the number one contender, and I was a fighter, I'm fighting.
I'm fighting. Exactly true. Exactly.
Well, look, that's because, just because they were stupid.
Floyd could have fought Triple G as his last fight.
He could have. Floyd would have beat him. He would have beat Thurman.
Floyd Mayweather didn't want to tarnish a legacy. But if he would have went out with 49-1, that would have been a total issue to him.
But look at this with Floyd. Look at this. As soon as Manny Pacquiao got knocked out by Marquez, all of a sudden Floyd was like, "Yeah, the fight's gonna happen."
He saw a weakness.
You know why, Crawfo?
Yes.
Because now he can undeniably tell him, "You definitely not getting 50-50 now. You just got knocked 50-50."
Exactly.
Now we don't gotta hear nothing about no 50-50, no 60-40, nothing even close to it.
Exactly.
You get $20 million and that's it. And I'm gonna walk home.
Can I ask you a question, Perry? What did all that you have to say have anything to do with boxing?
It does. Because y'all not getting the fact that this is a business now.
No, I get it.
And then the second thing is, it's called boxing, not fight. So I don't care about who's the greatest fighter. And then you can go to Kimbo Slice. He's probably the greatest fighter, all right? We're talking about boxing, all right? And nobody boxes better than Floyd Mayweather, all right? Every time he gets in the ring with anybody, he makes them all look the same. They say, I remember Teddy Atlas. The great Teddy Atlas said that Floyd Mayweather was going down against a Canelo Alvarez. Look what happened in that fight. Canelo didn't know what to do. It looked like he never put gloves on before when he fought Floyd.
Right. So I want to hear
none of this crap that he was always the favorite. He wasn't always the favorite. That's crap.
All right?
You know what I'm saying? He went out there and he handed his business. Give him the top, man.
Yeah. All right, so we got to go to a break. When we come back, the second half of the NWA Sports Report on a shortened first edition. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
To all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. It's all good. And all the struggle. You know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Slipping on private stock way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha, you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight because I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the world.
Yeah, NWA Sports Report still celebrating the legacy of the Notorious B.I.G. 20 years ago today, gunned down, man. Maybe the greatest of all time, who knows?
Definitely one of
them. One of the greatest. As Floyd is one of the greatest fighters of all time. Not the greatest, because there's only one greatest. Yes, Uncle Perry. Yes.
I heard you being very disrespectful over the break, man.
What?
I heard you.
What'd you hear?
You know, you said Triple G will beat Floyd. And you were so wrong and disrespectful saying that.
Thank you.
He wouldn't even touch Floyd. He's too slow to touch him. Just because he's stronger than me. And then you said, what did you say? What, Thurman? You know, come on, man.
This is we got to do something about this, all right? You know, something's got to be some consequences to be taken out for you even making this proclamation, all right?
Thanks, Uncle
because
Barry.
That's just terrible. All right. We might have to duke it out.
Don't overstep your bounds, son.
All right, well,
don't overstep don't overstep your bounds, son. Because you know, I know where there's a boxing ring over in West Baltimore, and you know, I'm ready to rumble at any time. So don't overstep your bounds, son.
Let's
don't
do it for charity.
I'm heavyweight division.
You trying
try
to strip from him, that boy?
I'm heavyweight division now.
Where nobody's at. Okay, Broner.
I mean, you know, you keep talking, Perry. Like we might be able to raise some money for some people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, all right.
Give me some headgear.
All right, let's move on. What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about March Madness. I mean, this is March. The madness is the brackets.
The brackets come out Sunday.
Come out Sunday. The 45th president is not going to be a part of it because he don't know what he's talking about. Probably never watched a college basketball game in his life. Man, now
he's
you miss Obama. Man. You miss Obama now more than ever because he did that. He did that for 8 years, right?
Yeah, 8 straight years.
Yeah. So who's? I have not been paying attention to college basketball. Who's number one?
They just lost.
They just lost.
Kansas lost to TCU today.
TCU, yeah.
Wow.
Minutes ago, yeah. So.
Literally.
Wow.
They're. I mean, but this is the conference tournament. We all know Kansas was already in, but I think Villanova has an excellent chance of repeating this year. You know, they brought back practically the same team, lost just, I think, one, Akino.
The point guard.
Chris Jenkins still there. They still got bigs. Josh Hart, who's from the Maryland area, DMV area. He's there, so I think Villanova. I think UCLA is a team to watch. You know, with Alonzo Ball.
North Carolina.
They're always going to be tough.
North Carolina.
Yeah, so I think this. But I think the best thing about this year is it really truly is wide open. I mean, I think any team can win this year.
That's interesting because I mean I haven't heard y'all mention Duke's name one time, and they're always the perennial. You know,
that's my favorite.
Oh my
Duke's
God.
Struggling.
But you know we don't look like the same team.
We
they're struggling. You know, I mean, I think one of the,
but
I think the kid Grayson Allen, he trips one more person, he's out. You know, because he has a tripping.
Look,
that young boy,
he's like the
Luke
Draymond
Kennard.
Green of the college basketball.
Luke Kennard is the
Luke Kennard is the truth. So is Tatum. I like Kentucky. Kentucky's always going to be good with the freshmen, but you always got to worry about how young they are. You know, it's hard to get freshmen to, you know, play tournament basketball. The key to the tournament is always a veteran guard. You got a veteran guard that can play, you have a chance to go deep in the tournament.
What do y'all think Maryland's going to do? I like.
See,
that's
a veteran. They have a veteran guard, Melo Trimble. So I think Maryland. I got Maryland going pretty far in the tournament. I know. I say probably at least the Sweet 16, probably Elite Eight.
That'd be dope, man. God, we haven't had a championship since
Vaughn Dixon.
And Northwestern looking real good. So.
Jokes. They're going to be out. They're going to be out.
At least.
And I think Morgan's going to get a bid. You know, I think they are. I mean, people don't realize. I mean, Morgan State, two double-digit scores on their rosters. I mean, Morgan is kind of legit.
And we need to start talking about Coach Todd Bozeman as, if you want to talk about MEAC coaches, HBCU coaches, and in totality,
he's definitely elite.
He's an elite coach, and he's come and changed programs. Whether you disagree or agree with him, or whether you like him or dislike him, it's a thin line. You have to appreciate what that man's the work.
Yeah, because people, you know, people are doubting him. You know, because I think from the years, Cal, and I think from 2000, I think what was the last bid? Was it 2011, Perry? That Morgan went.
I think that is right. 2011. Was
yeah, about 2011. Around there.
Because they've had a couple trips to the championship in MEACs, but they just haven't been able to close them out the past.
Right.
Couple
yeah.
Years.
So but I mean, now he's back. You know. Yeah. I mean, Morgan has a really good chance at getting that bid from the MEAC. I mean, I think what is it? North Carolina Central's pretty tough. They're pretty tough.
They're
but
really good.
They're the favorites.
But I think Morgan has a really good shot. I think a lot of people should be tuned in tonight.
I hope they will.
Yeah, well, look, if North Carolina Central wasn't in the picture, and let's be real, I don't think they belong in the media. And they haven't been in the conference that long. I mean, and this is not their first time being in the conference. It seems like they come in our conference and then leave. come right. back and whatever, beat up yeah. on us and then leave, and then they have forced to come back again and all of that. You know, but if they wasn't there, Morgan State would probably be the favorites. You did mention those two top 20 scorers, Carr and then Tywon Kinley.
Yeah.
He's doing great this year. But the MEAC is wide open. I think they can win it. Hampton can win it. I mean, any team can win it if it wasn't for North Carolina Central. I think they're going to end up winning. It's unfortunate because, I really don't feel like they belong.
Okay. Yeah, there's that. But the tournament begins. The brackets come out on Sunday.
Well, yeah, the NCAA tournament brackets.
Because MEAC's finished Sunday. Saturday.
Right. But I think, MEAC's already started. I think we're in the, second round now? Mm-hmm. Is it second round?
And yeah. The championship game is Saturday.
Who does Morgan play tonight?
We play Howard.
That's right.
Howard. Ooh.
Nah, okay. We better beat Howard.
Howard did beat us. They did beat us. This year, so. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah, they should beat Howard. I mean, there's no James Daniel there. All right. You know, I mean, they got a really talented freshman on their team. I know that. I mean, he's really good. But there's no reason why they should go into Morgan State. If that's to happen, that'd be a huge disappointment. Huge.
Okay. Let's talk a little baseball and football all at the same time. Another one of Dre's favorite players, Tim Tebow.
Trash.
Whoa.
Former Heisman winner Tim Tebow won a playoff game with the Denver Broncos.
Yes, he did.
Has made his spring training debut with the New York Mets. Striking out twice. Way to go, Tebow.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean. It happens in baseball
It
sometimes.
Does happen. It does happen. Tebow's not going to make the team, bro.
Well, look.
Tebow just needs to become endless.
Let's be fair, though, yo. Let's be fair. I mean, didn't he face a Cy Award winner?
Was he what now?
You know, it's not like – didn't he face a Cy Young Award winner?
I don't know who he was.
Yeah, it was against one of the best pitchers in baseball. One of the best pitchers in baseball.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I mean,
so, we don't want to predicate his entire career success.
Predicate?
off of just this one start, you know, we don't want to say that, you know, but I think the whole thing is, I don't think he should be up on this level yet. You know, he just came back to baseball. He should be playing double-A baseball right now.
Maybe single.
You know, at least for the entire season, and then maybe we could think about bringing him back up next year. Because, let's be real, baseball is the hardest sport to play of all sports.
Yeah, it's harder.
There's no sport that's more harder to learn. And master at that.
And hard to make, Perry, because once you get in, you're not really in. You know, you get dragged by a team. You go to farm system for, forever.
Years.
You can be there forever. You can literally have a farm system career.
Unless they call you up. And I think they're just calling them up too fast. That's all it is.
And hitting the baseball is extremely hard.
Very hard.
I mean, that's one of the hardest things to do. It ain't just about strength and power. Right? You got to have some type of skill and finesse. You got to have an eye for it.
That's true.
So let's give this dude his proper... Okay. You know, we don't want to go in this thing and just say, he's not going to make it because he got struck out.
No, I just said he struck out twice. I'm reporting the news, Perry. I'm actually a reporter.
You're a professional as well.
Be fair, okay?
He struck out twice. I didn't say he struck out twice. Ha, ha, ha. I just said he struck out twice.
Well, yes, you did. You did, actually.
Did?
You say ha, ha, ha.
I didn't laugh.
He's a bum.
No,
he's a bum.
You're laughing and you're making fun of him.
Oh, wow.
You can't even do it with a straight face right now.
Because I never called that boy a bum. I like Tim Tebow. I actually like Tim Tebow. I think they disrespected him in the NFL. I think
Tim Tebow is a guy just looking to, this is my whole thing. You're looking for a guy that's looking for some type of resurgence to the top. I personally think, I agree with you, Sean. I think, how in the heck John Elway's running up and down the sideline like a little girl. Whoa. I mean, he was in the record books. The team was in the record books. And Tim Tebow emerged with or without his throwing arm, whatever you want to say. Whatever you want to say against him. He beat the Steelers. He did what he had to do. He got that team in the playoffs. And they were obsolete without him. The number one ranked Steelers. They were obsolete. Prior to that man. I get it. You got a Hall of Famer coming in. He decides he wants to come to Denver. You put that man on the roster. But Brock Osweiler left. Look at what they have now at quarterback position. You put him under Peyton's tutelage. We do not know what makes of him now.
That's a good point.
We do not know what makes
Let's
of him.
Let's talk now. Free agency since Ramos just bought up Brock Osweiler. Yep. Departing.
Here we go.
A lot of hurt feelings. A lot of hurt feelings, and except some people not hurt at all. Some people very happy about free agency. Perry, what do you think about free agency in your Baltimore Ravens?
Well, look, it stinks so far for the Ravens.
Stinks.
It really sucks. It hasn't been good so far for us. Okay, we've lost some really good players,
and also
that I wasn't prepared to say goodbye to. Okay, you know, we lost the best fullback in the NFL, Kyle Juszczyk. Okay. All right, he's gone, man. That hurts really, really bad. Okay. Brandon Williams is out the door. All That's right. probably the best DT in the game, at least when it comes to stopping a run. Nobody's stronger in the middle than him. I know that. Okay. He's gone. Yeah. All right, we lost Ricky Wagner, our right tackle. He's gone. All right, so now they need three whole new players on the offensive line. You know, and I don't know what they're going to do. Honestly, I don't know what's going on.
And Perry, also today, Kenneth Dixon is suspended for 4 games for using PEDs. So.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was something up because he wasn't looking good at the start of the season. Out of nowhere, he started. You don't just out of nowhere start to look better. All right, so I knew something was fishy with that, but you know, so I don't know what's going on with the team. Honestly, yo, it's all you need trust. That's all I can say.
Dumber, Elvis Dumerville got cut. Ladarius Webb was.
They cut Dumerville.
Well, he's washed. He's washed up, yo. He got to cut. Know.
And they're asking Peter for a pay cut. Too.
But they did get a big time signing for the safety. Who was it? The safety Tony Jefferson.
From Arizona.
So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And also, I think they're interested in Maurice Claiborne. So if they can pull that off.
And they're trying to get Woodhead too. So
they got Woodhead. Yeah,
they got Woodhead. You know, and Claiborne is okay. I mean, it's not like it's not like he's elite. All right, like so it's okay.
Right. But see, I mean,
the battle is won in the trenches. And right now, the trenches is in disarray. They got to fix the trenches, man. We got to get the defensive front, the front seven, back to par. We got to get the offensive line back. If they don't, it doesn't matter what they do anywhere else on the field. Team is going to suck.
Well, the good news.
Take care of the foundation.
But Perry, the good news this year is that this draft is probably one of the greatest defensive drafts in a long time. So, especially out of cornerbacks and D-line being the strongest. They say pass. So, looking at the Ravens, they can make great strides, you know, for the future in the draft on defense. The issue with the Ravens, like you said, offensive line. This is one of the historically weakest offensive line drafts. I mean, guard is pretty good, but, you know, everybody knows, you know, guards are a dime a dozen. Tackles are where it's really, really, really weak in this draft. So I think the Ravens, I mean, it is kind of troubling that they would let go so many offensive linemen and create so many holes, but.
I mean, but they already had a struggling offensive line.
As is, right?
So.
Go
can
younger,
you really,
right?
What can you really do?
Now, I do hear that they're trying to get Nick Mangold from the Jets.
Right.
Now, that's an A1 center.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of the Matt Burke signing. When they signed Matt Burke back in 2011, that changed things for that franchise.
If they get Mangold,
if you get Mangold, man, that changes things.
That changes
so if they
everything.
Get him, now we back. Then you hear me on the radio saying, we back, yo. We back.
Right.
So, but right now we are not back. Right now, I don't know what's going on.
But also, like, one of the surprise signings was Stephon Gilmore going to the Patriots, the cornerback from the Buffalo Bills. That was a shocking pickup, but also a huge pickup because now, I think that put Malcolm Butler on the trade block for the Patriots. His name's been swirling around for Brandon Cooks in New Orleans. So, I mean, I think, you know, the Patriots, the rich get richer.
They denied that trade originally.
Bill Belichick is the GOAT, man. He's the greatest football man that's ever walked this earth. Am I not right, yo?
Yeah.
He is the greatest coach.
The greatest, all right? So, man, we got to start giving this dude his props,
Vince?
Man. He is the greatest, man, because no matter what, year in, year out, he finds the right person.
So you still don't want to say that him and Brady are the GOATs?
No, I don't know enough about Brady, all right?
Hey, man, they're both going to be greatest in their own right.
Why not? I mean, Trump is in the White House. Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. So is Bill Belichick.
Sean, you weren't impressed with Brady's Super Bowl performance?
No.
One of the greatest Super Bowl performances we've
ever
seen.
I mean, he was struggling in the first half. Struggling.
He struggled in the fourth quarter, too.
No, he didn't,
Perry.
But
everybody
he was on fire.
Love.
Perry.
What about the Julian Edelman catch? Was that not supposed to be an interception?
That was Edelman's catch.
That's a catch. He caught it. He caught it, Perry.
Was it supposed to be an interception and Julian Edelman didn't do the sickest thing that we had
okay,
ever
but
seen.
Then Eli Manning a few years ago to David Tyree, that could have been an interception. Right, so what are you saying,
Perry? Are we giving Eli Manning a prop?
We do give Eli Manning props for that.
Eli Manning is one of the greatest playoff quarterbacks, Super Bowl quarterbacks to ever play. He is. That's a fact.
Look, man, Tom Brady struggled that whole game. He didn't look good.
But
man.
That's what adds to the legacy, no. man. The fact that no, you that, struggled. Isn't that a great football sports story? You struggle in the first half, you come out in the second half and light it up.
But no, because he struggled in the second half too. He just everybody around him started to do their job.
Can't do that, Perry.
You know, there
we go, so, man. Let's give everybody else the credit. Why are we giving it to Brady?
Also,
it's supposed to go to everybody else who made plays, man.
All right, Perry. All right.
That's what's wrong with the whole Brady.
But Perry, let's shift over to the Redskins. I think they're one of the most interesting stories out of free agency. I mean, you have a situation where everybody thought that Scott, you know, was their GM was pushing them in the right direction. Then out of nowhere, he goes missing, and then you know there's. What happened to him? Chris Cooley got on the radio a couple of times and said that he thinks that his drinking problem resurfaced. And then now they said they even had one report that free agents didn't know who was in charge in Washington. And then you have the whole Kirk Cousins saga. I think, you know.
The Kirk Cousins saga.
It's a saga. It's crazy.
He's gone.
He's gone.
It's crazy. But, I mean, I think. Also, the big news, they lose two of their wide receivers. You know, DeSean Jackson goes to Tampa Bay. Pierre Garçon goes to the 49ers. Now.
Incredible.
You know, I mean, it is. It's a turn of events.
The quarterback wants to be traded.
Because the Redskins, they really did look like a team that was finally starting to get it. Turn the corner. And now, I mean, it's interesting.
We were literally a defense away. Like, just a defense away this year. And they literally just banked all their chips. And it was just a front office mistake. Truly a poor decisions made by the front office. And now they have to Kirk Cousins went to the owner, Dan Snyder, today and asked for a trade. So now he's made it clear, like, either I want a contract extension or get me out of here.
You like that?
And what reports are saying that Dan Snyder said, basically, good luck with that. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, you're here.
Am I wrong? Didn't he get offered $20 million a year and he turned his nose up to it?
Yeah, he turned it down.
So what does he want? Does he want to get paid $24 million a year at a long term deal?
I mean, they're already
getting it. He wants a long term deal because they offered him a long term deal, and he really didn't deserve that much amount of money they were offering him.
Well,
and he turned it down.
The big report that I dug up is that Kirk Cousins really wanted to play for the Shanahans, whether it be Mike Shanahan or Kyle Shanahan. Those are the ones that were truly behind him. You know. A lot of people in the Redskins organization weren't really fully behind Kirk. So I think once you saw Shanahan leave, both Shanahan's gone, that kind of opened the door for Kirk to start seeing these rumblings of him not signing long term. Is he the answer? And honestly, it just seems like a player that does not want to be there.
But Shanahan's been gone for, 3 years now?
But Kyle's still been there. But you remember Kyle was always the offensive coordinator until...
Last year, two seasons ago, maybe?
When Jay Gruden took over that team, Shanahan was gone. Kyle Shanahan had left.
So it's like three seasons, right?
Jay Gruden's the one that decided to bench RG3.
Can I go Kirk Cousins,
regardless of where anybody goes, regardless of the pressure from Snyder or anybody.
I need to hear from Ramos on this. Ramos, you look like you're chomping at the bit. What do you think about your beloved Redskins?
To the point of everybody saying this about Kirk Cousins, this $24 million, Kirk Cousins sounds like a player that's entitled to something. Wait a minute, time out. I get it. You took the reins over a disastrous RG3 experiment that went down the drain, and I, for one, was for RG3 to a degree. I mean, you rejuvenate a city. It's Chocolate City. It's a black quarterback back in the nation's capital. I get it. And all the pop and circumstance, as you will, that came behind that and the playoffs and you riding off with the knee hit and you could have been the hero. You became the hero. You deserve that money then. Because what you did after that is you resurged the team. And how you like that 7 games straight, you go into the playoffs from worst to first, whatever, however you got there, if the Cowboys sucked or whatever the case may be. But at the same time, the Washington Redskins had the playoffs in the palm of their hands last year. Two games. You let the Carolina Panthers come in Monday night and destroy you, and you let a Giants team that really didn't have to win a game beat you at home again.
And rest their starters in halftime.
And at the same time, you looked unenthused. Kirk Cousins, if you wanted your money, If you really felt entitled to $24 million, Kirk Cousins, you would have played as if you wanted to deserve that money. You get your team into the playoffs. When you get your team into the playoffs, you make that money. And he did not do that. So for him to kind of sort of look and snarl his nose at the Washington Redskins is kind of absurd to me. Kirky, you were on my side, but I don't get it. But at the same time, you give a guy like Kirk Cousins 20-something million, and guess what happens to your stock? You got to turn around and pay Pierre Garçon. You got to find a way for DeSean Jackson, who publicly said he did not want to leave the Washington Redskins. Now he had to leave the Washington Redskins and make what was better for him. And now he's going to a young quarterback that only can get better and only can get on the rise. We had the third-ranking offense in the NFL. Like you said, we're a defense away. This looked like even if you didn't respect the Redskins, even if you didn't want to care about the Washington Redskins, you were to respect them in the NFC East. And they only have gotten better. Brandon Marshall just went to the Giants after them losing Victor Cruz. So what the enhancement does that do? Now
Alshon,
the Washington Redskins.
Alshon Jeffrey just went to the Eagles.
Now the and Torrey Smith. So now the Washington Redskins look like the last team in the NFL. And you know, I'm a big, you know, you guys know me out there. You know who I am. I'm a big Redskins enthusiast, born and raised. Washington Redskins is all day, all the time. But for to go to the through the struggle of having to consistently make wrong trades and Albert Haynesworth and always going for the big block, big go through the big blockbusters and flopping in every movie that you create, and Scott McLuhan we trust, this is what happens, and this becomes the debacle of the Washington Redskins. And for once in a long time, we're back to the soap opera that continues to be the nation's capital. I, for one, may be very disappointed in the Washington Redskins, and on this day, I am not proud. I'm not proud, even though I'm going to be there. You're dang right we're going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to still continue to say it every year. But
not
I'm
year.
Not proud
Maybe
to be.
On Madden.
I'm this not proud to be a Redskin.
This not message brought to you by passion. Passion.
Because this year, they ain't going
to. But I would also say this just shows how Snyder and Bruce Allen can't just sit back and let somebody
Never.
Work. They can't
Ever.
Do it. Because, I mean, the thing about it was, I mean, there's also reports that Scott was the last person in there that wanted Pierre Garçon. They said that, you know, Jay Gruden thought, oh, he's easily replaceable. You know, wow. DeSean Jackson, they didn't think DeSean Jackson was worth $12 million. I mean, these are things that you know, are going on in their building that's hurting them.
I don't know why the
let's take a phone call real quick. Let's take a phone call before we run out of time. We're almost out of time. Let's go to Clarence in Baltimore. Clarence, you're on the NWA. What's happening?
Hello, everybody. Good. Hey. Quick. As long as Brandon Williams is part of the Ravens defense and they have any reliance on him, the Ravens will be exploited next year. Mm-hmm. He is not Naga, and he is definitely not Tony Siragusa with that ability to run blitz and pass rush at the same time. He cannot split the gap fast enough, and he cannot move lateral fast to either side to chase any play down from the backside. I watched this all year long, and if you guys go back and look at how the Ravens were exploited with the run game, you will find that he was the main cause with his inability. If you look at, like I said, Tony Siragusa and Naga, these guys had the ability to split the gap, and you had a run blitz and a pass rush at the same time.
Tony Siragusa wasn't that good. You got to remember the year that the Ravens
is the fastest nose tackle I ever seen on the field.
No, man.
In the backfield, the quarterback took two steps back, and Siragusa was in the back.
Sam Adams was better than him.
Yeah, and plus the Ravens have other defensive holes, too. I mean, that may be a hole, but they got other things on defense that they really need to clean up.
That was Sam Adams, Clarence. That wasn't Tony Siragusa that was spitting the guy, man. Tony Siragusa was an average player.
He was good for one thing. He was good for doing belly flops on quarterback.
But my thing with Brandon Williams, you can't really say that Brandon Williams is not an effective player because at the same time, when you are top three and at a majority part of the season, the number one team against the run, that goes to the nose tackle because teams are trying to run it right between the tackle, and you have somebody like Brandon Williams who's sitting in the middle, clogging up the middle and stopping the run.
The only reason why they were, you know, because that run defense broke down at the end of the year.
It did.
But it wasn't Brandon Williams' fault, man. It was the personnel issues, man. I mean, Dean Pease was constantly getting caught in pass situations where he was expecting the pass and teams were running right at him. So that's a personnel issue. They should have had Michael Pierce out there with him. That's the only other guy that's 300 pounds that can actually stop somebody from running up the middle. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was personnel issues. It wasn't Brandon Williams, man. That dude is probably the best DT in the game. And it's said that those guys get paid like quarterbacks now, so you can't keep both an elite quarterback or somebody you're paying like an elite quarterback and then also have an elite DT at the same time. Ramos, too much money.
Take 45 seconds. Well, that we have left.
Want to look to this man to my left, because originally, Cavante's not here, sadly, but this was the Flex Zone takeover to a degree, and we came on and you let us come on here, Sean.
Oh, yes.
But new news on the platform.
News. All right.
The Flex Zone and Ramos have departed ways. These are still my brothers. Yeah. I wish them the best. I appreciate your hard work and make you let me have my way, and you may gave me a voice, and I appreciate you. And because of that, you've given me confidence to move forward. Rolling with Ramos, your new favorite podcast has now entered episode number 2.
All right.
Please, everybody, go to SoundCloud and type in Rolling with Ramos.
You're not retiring from the NWA, though.
No, I'm still here playing. Right, unless you're kicking me out. I mean, the last time I was on a hiatus, everybody was in here dang near crying.
Maybe not quite crying, Ramos, we missed you very much.
It was a cloudy day.
It was definitely a cloudy day.
Sunshine.
Without Ramos.
Anywho.
The sun is back.
Yeah, guys, you can go on the SoundCloud. Type in Rolling with Ramos, or you can go on iTunes and go to The Working Class and look for The Working Class on the podcast, and Rolling Ramos is right there. And also make sure you tune to the Flex Zone as well.
All right.
Yes, the revamped Flex Zone.
Revamped.
And this is
just remember where that came from, okay? Let's remember who started rolling. Ramos, okay? Rolling,
I need my theme Ramos song to personally have you doing that in it, sir.
Rolling with Ramos. You know yours can't do it.
No, I can't.
You know he can't do it.
I can't. You know? I can't do that, Barry.
Baby.
You saw like a kid trying to make a tiger noise. Rah, rah. Ramos.
Good job, Perry. Good job.
Thank you, Perry.
El Crawfo, Blanc, Dr. Dre, Ramos.
Rest in peace, Biggie Smalls,
the Notorious. Rest in peace. That's it for us. First edition is a production of WEAA. Show is produced by executive producer Sean Yost, associate producer Iorio Digizua. Our first edition interns are Kristen West, Janelle Ferguson, Alex Blanc, Deja Braggs, Jonathan Williams, Miracle Choku Keize, Drew Mitchell, Isaiah George, Wyman Jones, Valentin Davis. My Lord, we got a lot of jokes. Stay tuned for MEAC Tournament, Morgan State University versus Howard University, next right here on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, Voice of the Community. I am Sean Yost. Peace.
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player. To the honeys getting money, playing fellas like dummies.